So tonight we embark on our first exploration of a first actual technique. Last few weeks have been sort of introduction and definitions and stuff. Today we're going to look at a real technique for meditating. So you remember when we talked about mindfulness, what is it, what the word means, and I said that mindfulness was the English word that was chosen by an early Buddhist scholar to translate the Pali word sati. And at the time I said it didn't matter what sati meant. But that was the first time that mindfulness was used in the context of meditation was translating this word sati. So tonight we're going to look at what sati is, or what it's connected with. So there were a lot of meditation practices before the Buddha came along. He didn't invent meditation, and there's many that have arisen since. But what he did is he made a discovery that no one else had really come across before, and this discovery sort of changed the contemplative world. Over time, as it was disseminated. And I'll be talking in more detail about that specific history on Saturday for those of you going to the retreat. So, the meditation prior to the Buddha primarily was a concentration practice. There were loads of them, but people tended to focus on concentration practices where you get into a very deep meditative state, a very deep concentration, sort of withdrawing from everything else into a single-pointed concentration, and you can get into states that are very pleasant, transcendent states, bliss and euphoria or deep, deep calm, things like that. And that was primarily what was being done in meditation around the world generally. And then the Buddha came along and discovered something else that he could do, that we can do. The word sati, which, as I've said, was translated into the word mindfulness, is half of a word combination word of satipatthana, which, if anyone has studied Buddhism, you've heard of satipatthana. And it's a word, I think the Buddha actually made it up. It's a combination word. So, patthana, according to my online Pali English dictionary, means setting forth or putting forward, like starting something that you intend to continue to do. Going on a journey, you set forth on a journey. Sati, if you just look at a direct translation, not in the Buddhist sense, but what sati means as a word in itself, is, I'll quote this, an active state of mind, fixing the mind strongly upon any subject, attention, or attentiveness. So, we amateurs of linguistics might come to the conclusion that satipatthana means something like setting forth on the process of fixing your mind strongly upon something, or putting forth attentiveness on something. So, this is what the Buddha discovered. Instead of this deep concentration where you withdraw into yourself and get into deep, sort of altered states, he discovered this idea of putting your attention, fixing your attention strongly on something that's actually out there in the real world. So that's what he discovered. And then the earliest writings about it that are supposedly his early teachings are called the Satipatthana Sutta. Sutta is just the word for like a discourse or a teaching. So he went off and started teaching about placing your attention firmly on some object that you choose to pay attention to. Okay, so the Satipatthana Sutta, being the teaching about paying attention to things, is actually quite a long discourse. And it has lists of all sorts of things you can pay attention to. And I will read you some of the things that you can pay attention to if you choose to fix your mind on them. You can pay attention to your breath, or your body, or your walking. We've all probably done a little of that. You can pay attention to what direction you're facing, or to bending, or stretching, or eating. You can pay attention to urinating, according to the Buddha. You can pay attention to all the gross parts of your body, like hair and nails and phlegm and bile. You can pay attention to your mortality. You can fix your mind on the decaying bodies in the charnel ground. There is a list of 9 different ways to pay attention to decaying bodies. You can pay attention to the 4 elements of solidity, fluidity, temperature, and mobility. You can pay attention to whether things are pleasant or unpleasant, to your inner state of mind, to greed or lust or anger or doubt. And that's just the first half of the discourse. So the point is that you can pay attention to any part of your experience. You fix your mind or fix your attention on just about anything that you choose. And this was quite a different way of meditating. I call it a discovery. It was important because he found in that a way to become free of suffering, which is what he had been seeking all his life up till then. So this skill of paying attention to whatever you choose to pay attention to with determination somehow leads to freedom. And we'll look at that a little more in a little while. So he discovered this, he started teaching this, and then history happened. Buddhism spread, went to other places, and adapted to other cultures. People came up with alterations and improvements on what the Buddha had taught. Different schools arose with different emphases, and which is good. I mean, the Buddha, I think, would have been pleased that the people who came after him were adapting to what worked for them and improving on his techniques. You know, he wasn't some god that came down and said, this is how you do it. He just said, I've discovered this. And then if other people say, well, we tried it and we found that this works really well too. So that's all a good thing. It's just that by the beginning of the 20th century, this specific practice of Satipatthana was not being practiced anymore. There's lots of other things that were useful, but not this specific technique. And then there was this guy in Burma, and I have no idea how to pronounce Burmese, but it looks like Jetavan Sayadaw. Now, Sayadaw is a teacher, and so he was this highly respected Burmese meditation Buddhist instructor. He loved to read, and he loved to study, even from a very young age. And by the way, he also had an eidetic memory, so a photographic memory. And he's in the Guinness Book of World Records in 1954 for reciting 16,000 pages of Buddhist texts accurately. So he knew his stuff. And he was studying the Satipatthana and saw in it something useful and started reviving the practice. So he started teaching it to his students. One of his students was a guy called Mahasi Sayadaw, who had opportunity to teach it more broadly. In fact, he taught it around the world. And essentially, this practice was revived in modern Buddhism and then in more recent years into modern secular meditation. So he died in 1993. And his method was called either the Burmese method or the new Burmese method or frequently the Mahasi method. And then as it moved out of Buddhism into general use, it's more commonly called noting, N-O-T-I-N-E. Well, guess what? Noting is what I want to teach tonight. I'd like to introduce you to this technique, which is very common now. It's like probably the most prevalent technique used in the Western modern world of meditation, mindfulness style meditation. And I want to start with the Mahasi's style and then move into something that's even a little bit more contemporary and doable. So the basic idea of Mahasi style noting, and I should also say that unified mindfulness, which is the framework in which I'm sort of hanging all of these different talks, uses noting as one of the primary methods. So it will come back to it frequently with different ways of using it. So the basic idea is that you start off focusing on the rising and falling of your abdomen when you breathe, noting rising and falling in your mind. And then if anything else arises, any other experience, then you notice that also. So you give it a little label just in the back of your mind to help you maintain your concentration. And then when you finish noticing whatever else there is, you go back to your rising and falling abdomen. So you might be sitting there quietly breathing and you're noting to yourself, rising, falling, rising, falling. And then you think about something. So you'll note thinking, thinking, and go back to rising, falling. So that's pretty simple, right? You're just focusing on your breathing, and if something distracts you, you make a little note of what that is, maybe hearing, then you come back to rising, falling. So that sounds pretty simple, but the thing is that according to Mahasi, you have to note everything that arises in addition to your rising and falling abdomen. So I've got an excerpt here in Mahasi's own words from one of his books about how you do this. While occupied with the exercise of observing each of the abdominal movements, other mental activities may occur between the noting of each rising and falling. Thoughts or other mental functions such as intentions, ideas, imaginings are likely to occur between each mental note of rising and falling. They cannot be disregarded. A mental note must be made of each as it occurs. If you imagine something, you must know that you have done so and make a mental note imagining. If you simply think of something, mentally note thinking. If you reflect, reflecting. If you intend to do something, intending. When the mind wanders from the object of meditation, which is the rising and falling of your abdomen, mentally note wandering. Should you imagine that you are going to a certain place, note going. When you arrive, note arriving. When in your thoughts you meet a person, note meeting. Should you speak to them, note speaking. And then a little later on, he's still going on. You are likely to experience an intense feeling of fatigue, stiffness in the body or in the arms or legs. Should this happen, simply keep the knowing mind on that part of the body where such feelings occur. Carry on the contemplation, noting tired or stiff. Make a mental note of the specific sensation as it occurs, such as painful, aching, pressing, piercing, tired, giddy. And then go back to your breath. Then he describes you going to get a drink of water. When you look at the tap or the water pot on arriving at the place where you're going to take a drink, be sure to make a mental note of looking and seeing. When you stop walking, stopping. When you stretch out the hand, stretching. When you touch the cup, touching. When you take the cup, taking. When you dip the cup into the water, dipping. When you bring the cup to your lips, bringing. When the cup touches the lips, touching. When you swallow, swallowing. When you return the cup, returning. So you get the idea that there's a lot to note. And this is how Mahasi taught. And I'm going to suggest that we try it for 45 seconds or so.
So any verb that occurs, you take a mental note of it? Is that?
Any experience that you notice, if you think, note thinking. If you happen to notice what you're thinking about, note what you're thinking about. If you have an itch, you note itch. If you're cold, you note cold. If you're fed up and impatient, you note fed up and impatient. So, planning, hearing, if you hear something, if you imagine that you're hearing something, then you note hearing. Anything that you're aware of, you're going to make a mental note of. Okay? So, ready? Wait, where's my bell?
Question. Do you
Yes.
want to think about returning to the breath? Because otherwise, you can just get lost in this endless
You return to the
breath.
breath whenever there's nothing left that is taking you away.
As soon as you're aware,
Huh?
isn't it? As soon as you're aware, you're
As soon as you're
thinking
aware of
back.
something, you note it. And as soon as there's nothing left to note, you go back to the breath. So if everything goes quiet and peaceful and you're not aware of anything, go back to the breath. But if there's something there, make a note of it. Okay. All right. 45 seconds. So, how was that? Any comments?
So short, it felt like a barely getting
Yeah? That's good. Any other thoughts?
So much going on.
Yep.
Eyes open or eyes closed?
Doesn't matter. But
Yeah.
the,
So what if five things are happening at once?
Good
What do you
question.
notice?
There's a lot competing for your attention.
Yep.
So. Yeah, it seems like an endless commentary.
I don't know why, but for me it was the exact opposite. I think so much, I feel like a lot, and I was able to like it. If every side, even focus. So it almost felt like it focused me more because I was trying not to. Oh, I was noting things, but I was like trying to also not note things, I guess, in my head. Not that I wasn't realizing them, but I was doing them.
Yeah. So even in 45 seconds, you're having some insights. It is pretty hard work, right? Doing that. Can you imagine doing that for 45 minutes? Good. Well, you don't have to. But I would like to point out one thing. The deep states that I spoke about of concentration meditation were probably not what you were experiencing. But some of you said that you were focused, right? You had to pay attention. Would you agree with that? You were maybe jumping from thing to thing, but you weren't daydreaming at the same time, right? So this brings out two different kinds of concentration. And when Mahasi first started teaching this broadly, he got a lot of flack because people were saying that what he taught didn't cause concentration, and concentration is e important for all the things that meditation is good for. What he was teaching or is teaching through that is what we call momentary concentration, as opposed to the deep states, which are absorption meditation. But this may not feel deep and concentrated, but this sort of concentration, when you keep it going, lots of little instances of short but focused concentration adds up to the same benefit as the deep states. So it's good to do both. It may not feel concentrated, but you still are concentrating. But as you've noticed, it's pretty hard work. So contemporary teachers have modified the instructions to make it a little bit more doable for people like us who are not living in monasteries and have their entire lives to figure it out. So what I'm going to teach you is one style of noting and labeling. Different teachers teach it in different ways, but this is the way I teach it. And what we're going to do is simplify everything by just having a couple of labels, that categories that things can fall into. And also, you don't have to notice everything all the time. So what we're going to do instead is allow lots of things to arise, but whatever draws our attention is what we're going to note. So let me give you some instructions. And this is what's on your handout. I haven't given you instructions for the Mahasi method specifically, because it would drive you crazy. So noting and labeling has noting is different from labeling, and I'll get to that in a minute. Labeling is labeling. Noting has two elements to it. The first is the moment of noting a sensory experience and being aware that you've noticed it. So, you know, you can be walking along and a block later think, oh yeah, there was, you know, something happening back there. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when you notice something and you know that you've noticed it. So that's the noting, or the first part of noting. You notice it, and then you sort of swivel the spotlight of your attention onto it. And the second part is, with your attention shined on whatever it was, you take just a few seconds, sort of soak into it, explore it, focus on it intently, and get to know it. And then you release your attention from that, and something else will draw your attention, and you'll notice it, and you'll know that you've noticed it, and you shine your attention over there, and you soak into that for a while. So you're going to be moving around in a rhythmic way, noticing something, checking it out briefly, and then noticing something else, checking it out, then relaxing, noticing something else. So instead of having to follow everything that's coming up, you're just going to one thing at a time, stick with it for a few seconds. So there's an image that is helpful for me in understanding that, which is a honeybee collecting pollen, right? So you've got this bee flying around looking for a flower, and then it sees a flower and it immediately makes a beeline down there. And then it crawls around inside the flower looking for pollen everywhere, collecting all the pollen. It gets all, you know, checks out everywhere in the flower, make sure it gets all its pollen. And then it flies away and looks around, and then there's another flower, and it heads over to there. So that's what we're doing. We're heading into an experience, getting to know it intimately, but just for a few seconds, and then relaxing and letting something else draw our attention. And when I say sensory experience, I mean anything that you are aware of through the senses, which essentially is everything or anything. So seeing, hearing, feeling, internally seeing things, so visual images, internal sounds, emotional sensations, you know, anything that you are aware of, you are aware of through your senses. But we're looking at little individual instances as they draw your attention. So does that make a little bit of sense? I'm going to be guiding you through this, so it doesn't have to make a lot of sense yet. So the labeling is an optional tool that you can use to help you concentrate. And that's putting that little label on whatever you've been drawn to. So as Mahasi was saying, it would be, looking, seeing, thinking, moving. But we're going to limit it to just three categories. And those categories are going to be seeing, hearing, and feeling. And that includes both internal and external. So everything that you experience should be able to fall into one of those categories. If you use a label, which is totally optional, but it is helpful, especially at first, you want to just use a little bit of attention in the back of your brain to say it. You want to say it in a sort of matter-of-fact tone of voice, which will help create equanimity and keep a little bit of distance from the experience. And if your concentration isn't so good, then say the label a little bit louder to yourself. If your concentration is really good, you don't need to use the label at all. But you are still going to be noting. So noticing, soaking in, noticing, soaking in, noticing, soaking in. And can you see how that relates to what the Buddha was saying? You know, focus your attention. We're going to do the practice of setting out to attend to something and then having attended to it intently, we're going to set out to attend to something else. So this is essentially the earliest Buddhist practice brought into a contemporary context and out of the religious context. And it is a very powerful technique. It seems very simple and somewhat banal when you start. But once you get that down, it's amazing what you can see and what you can do with it, how you can adapt it to certain situations.